a chaotic last week in a chaotic year. Ed and I chat the closing days of 2018 and the year in review. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Jim Mattis, one of the final adults in the room, has resigned from his post as Secretary of Defense after a disagreement with Trump over his Syria decision. Ed, probably the single most respected figure of the Trump administration still, at this point, gone.
Gone, and he was supposed to go, I believe, in February or at the end of January, and Trump threw him out the door as soon as the letter came. That two-page letter is very interesting, and those people who are listening to us who haven't read it, it's online. They should read it no matter where they're from, Australia or wherever, because what he basically says is the United States cannot walk alone. America's greatness is with friends, not going it alone. And America has to win the soft power war as well as the hard power war. And it cannot be done by yelling at allies. So it was really 180 degrees from Trump. And I think that's where he was all the time. But more importantly, he was the leader of the American military forces. Now, Trump's got someone, a guy from Boeing, executive, who probably knows how to get up in the morning, shave, and get an airplane off the ground. But having been the commander of the American military is a special thing. And I thought he'd pick someone else, the former head of the chief of staff of the U.S. armies. And he may pick that guy who's gone into retirement, bring him out, because he's really a military man. The guy from Boeing is not a military man, and Trump is not. So he really needs a military leader.
As you say, that letter from Mattis, well worth reading, as well as some of the other things Mattis has written in the past regarding the allies' relationship with the United States, how important that is.
So now Pompeo is a teenager in the room. We can't call him a full adult. But that's it.
Scary times. A government shutdown we spoke to soon last week, Ed. After it seemed Republicans and Dems had come to a short-term agreement, Trump ticked off about criticism from conservative heads, blew the deal. At time of us speaking right now, the government's still in partial shutdown as it was over Christmas.
And it will continue in partial shutdown. The danger for Trump is the Democrats being sworn in shortly after the first year, I believe it's the 6th or the 7th, and then taking office around the 20th. That gap in time is so the people who weren't elected or retired can get out of their offices, because they have to be on duty until the new people come in. This is perilous for both the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats have to get something. Saying you don't want the wall isn't getting something. Now, I've put out several times that they had to try to get DACA and give him the wall over some period of time so he can't backtrack. Well, I've got the wall now, so I'm not going to do anything on DACA. Get the DACA bill you want. Then if he backtracks, say, we're not going to fund the next year this wall. That's a deal that's possibly workable if you could find an adult to work with him.
Kicking this one down the road until Dems take over in 2019. We'll be, I think, talking about that one a little bit more next week. I did want to make mention, though, Trump and Melania have made a visit to one of, some of the government's hardest workers, U.S. troops, following through on long-made promises to visit those in combat.
Well, you know, particularly with Mattis gone, he had to do something. This is something he could do, spur of the moment sort of thing, the possibility of being with troops who are actually near combat. So, again, he's doing things to please his base. Let's hope he doesn't wet his pants while he's there. But he's afraid of this kind of situation. That's why he hasn't done it. So we'll see. This will help him with his base. He has the lowest numbers of any president in history on a continuing basis, low numbers. So the Republicans aren't backing him on the shutdown. Almost nobody sees the wall as a possibility. And let's say he got the wall. What program would he have left? He's certainly not going to attack health care again. That's not a goer, even with his own base. It is being attacked in the courts, and there should be something that comes out of that legislative way to protect Obamacare. But he has no legislative agenda. That's what's spooking the markets. He has no place to go but down.
Let's talk about the markets for a moment. The Federal Reserve, I saw it said, the moment that Trump told the Reserve they couldn't, they weren't allowed to raise interest rates, well, that confirmed the rates had to go up because the Reserve couldn't be seen as...
caving.
Well, caving, exactly. Trump just doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get... The reason you have a Federal Reserve is it's an independent body setting the rates. It's not the president or some politician setting the rates. Greece went through that, where a politician was setting the rates, and he was also the prime minister and an economist from the University of California, where I was. I never met him, but he was on the campus when I was there. Highly esteemed economist. But an economist and a political leader with the Treasury is not a good mix. First, I guess you have to read to know these things. And if you don't read, you don't know. Here is a man who's tone deaf to anything looks like the truth.
And the stock market has taken a historic plunge. Trump reportedly thinking about firing Fed Chairman Jerome Powell.
That would be a huge mistake. But the market went up 1,000 points yesterday. It's gone down, I guess, over 1,500. It ran up 1,000, but it's going to sink again.
Trump was very happy to take credit for economic good times, something a lot of political commentators said was a bad idea because the bad does come with the good.
That's right.
Was he always going to find a scapegoat?
Well, look, the good times started out before he even came into office. That started with Obama. After he repaired the ditch, the market started going in the United States' direction. And these tariffs and things have ruined that program. So now this is a whim program. Nobody knows. The Chinese are into this. That court case that no one knows anything about, I imagine that could be a Chinese company that the U.S. wants to see something about. And I think we could know it begins with an H, that there may be some subpoena there about what they're doing, tapping into telephone lines and things like this. They arrested the head of that company in Canada. There's something going on here. So the markets are spooked because trade relations aren't good. There is no leadership in the world. Brexit is falling apart. The Brits will be in worse shape at the end of this. Italy is in a free float. The countries that went down during the GFC have not really recovered. And Germany's on thin edge. So the markets are smoked. If the United States doesn't have clear leadership, there's none in the world.
And just lastly, for this week, for the last week of 2018, Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker will not recuse himself from the Mueller investigation. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions recusing himself was, of course, a big no-no for President Trump. So not doing so, it's not a good look either, not a good look for law and order.
Well, I don't know how they came to that conclusion. But remember, the people who wrote that document report to him. And it doesn't matter where they recuse themselves. We can go into this some other time. But it's kind of interesting. The big cases are not coming out of Washington. They're coming out of New York, Virginia, and other courts. Mueller has already figured out the safety net, and the safety net has moved things to other courts and moved these suits so far in advance that the president doesn't have a chance to touch him.
We're getting stuck into 2018 now, the year 2018 in US news and politics. Looking back, firstly, resignations and firing. Let's look at a brief list of highlights. Diane Powell, Omarosa, Rob Porter, Gary Cohn, Andrew McCabe, H.R. McMaster, Hope Hicks, Rex Tillerson, Scott Pruitt, Nikki Haley, Jeff Sessions, John Kelly, and of course, as we discussed earlier, Jim Mattis, set to leave January 1st. This list, far from comprehensive, Ed.
That's a list longer than in my high school graduating class. I mean, my God, and that's in 1 year. In 1 year, it is amazing. Did you mention Michael Cohen?
Michael Cohen, I believe I did not, no.
No.
That was purely just from the administration.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, he played a small role in the Trump administration, but he has a large voice. It's remarkable. Now, he says he's the same as Obama. Obama did have a lot of, not turmoil, but he changed people in the first 2 years. A lot of that was because he was bringing in the old Democrats and he had to go through them to get to the new ones. But this kind of turnover is very destabilizing for government in every possible way. When I served in the government, at least I knew every day who was going to be there. And if the top person isn't there, in the State Department where I worked, the water cooler, literally the water cooler, and the lunchroom were the places where this gossip went on. And I would say 20% of the time was listening to gossip about what's going on in the world. You know, you have friends who are stationed in Syria or wherever, and you get this gossip back that's other than the stuff that comes in down the line. So if the gossip mill has to deal with the kind of stuff we just said, that is an awful lot. Too much, in matter of fact.
Let's talk about the wall for a moment. We've seen a government shutdown this week over, and it could put a Republican versus Democrat line in the sand, but it's easy to forget Republicans have had control of both houses of government in 2018 and 2017, didn't manage to get this done, and indeed failed on a lot of legislation.
Well, the reason they didn't manage to get this done, remember, the wall's at the southern border. That's about 10 states. And if you want to get something through, you've got to appeal to 40, at least, states. There's no appeal for that wall in Iowa. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. The other thing is, the high-stakes game was the tax bill. And Republicans warned the president if he put the wall in that bill, it would fail for the reasons I just mentioned. You have to have 60, he had to have 60 votes for that. And he barely got it. The tax bill is his only accomplishment during the year. The wall is truly symbolic for him. He said the Mexicans were going to pay for it. Remember that? please. And the wall is a nothing. Getting around it, through it, etc. And don't tell me that some people who are smuggling drugs are going to be deterred by this wall. They will find it really interesting and great fun. While the United States is paying attention to the wall, they're getting under it and over it. Most of the drugs are coming in now by air. And a lot of them coming in by freight aircraft, you know, hidden in the belly someplace. So, please.
Might be a good excuse to break out the old catapults.
Yes.
Just, you mentioned it was symbolic for Trump. I found it rather intriguing this week to find out just how symbolic it was for his base. Throughout 2018, we've looked at his base and nothing can shake the Trump base. This seemed like the one issue when Trump was seen to be backing down. This was the one issue after everything we've seen in 2018, everything in 2017, that actually seemed to shake the base a little.
Well, the base has to have a victory for their man. It's hard to shake the lies and things like this. He says, if he comes up with a victory of some kind, well, maybe we can tell people he did that. But who's this wall for? You know, you come and you knock on the wall and say, I'm a person seeking asylum. According to the law, they got to let you through the wall. So give me a break.
Look, speaking about the Republicans versus Democrats, midterms, of course, a great return for Dems, taking back the House and showing a sizable swing against Republicans.
40 seats. 40 seats. You notice how calm I am now. because, you know, many of us were hoping for a clear victory. And I think I suggested on this show between 30 and 35. But 40 seats, that's the biggest since a Reagan or something like this. The thing about it, though, is not the seat swings. They're young. And a lot of other young people who didn't make it. Stacy in Georgia.
Mm.
She's young. Okay, say Stacy Abrams. She's young. Gillum in Florida. He's young. They will be back. Gillum can run 2 years from now for the Senate seat in Florida. And I think he might have a pretty good chance. And there will be a million more people, mostly African Americans, who had criminal convictions, who couldn't vote, who can vote in this next election. And every election in Florida seems to be decided by 10,000 votes or less. So I think we're going to see Mr. Gillum either in the Senate or as the governor.
And a couple of other rising stars, Beto O'Rourke, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And we've also seen the return of the likes of Obama and Joe Biden.
And Joe Biden last week said he's the best qualified person to be president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said that before Trump ran. He could have said that before Hillary ran. I wish he had. And we've been saved this. But I'm glad to see Joe's out there. He has a remarkable record. And his sons are veterans and things like this. He had some tragedy in his own life. So he's a real American. He's the kind of person that people in Indiana, Ohio vote for. And if Beto runs with him, Texas is going that way. So that's the worst possible nightmare for the Republicans. But I think the Democrats are going to put a moment up. Who do you think that would be? Ms. Harris from California. She's said a few things that are kind of, you know, foot and mouth.
Mm.
But boy, she's a tough one. And California has 55 electoral votes. So it's possible. But we've got to get Beto into something. Beto would go into the cabinet at least.
Return of the blue wave, perhaps. A big thing that has been a boon for Republicans, aside from the legislature we were talking about a moment ago there, they've gotten a lot of judge picks. Trump has gotten his real pick of judges this year, including most famously the new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes, that's true. But you suggest he's gotten a lot. A lot of people have gone up, but they failed to make the cut, even with the Republicans. There are several very embarrassing incidents where the guys didn't even know the Constitution of the United States. One guy had never practiced before the bar at all. And so while the Republicans want Republican judges, they want him to be semi-qualified. So he hasn't gotten as many as he wants, and he hasn't paid attention to this, and he hasn't had an attorney general paying attention to it. So there's still a lot of openings. And we will see what happens. But interestingly enough, most of the judges who found against him were put in by Republicans. So the fact a Republican puts you in doesn't mean you're going to lean toward the Republicans when something comes before you.
A couple of news items. We talked about gun deaths last week, levels at the highest in 50 years. Those numbers based on 2017. But this year, we saw the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, deadliest high school shooting in U.S. history. And these shootings, these mass shootings, especially.
This is terrible. California.
Yeah.
I think in 2020, for sure, in the presidential election, this is going to be an issue. And the issue will be to return to the old Brady bill, that is automatic weapons. Now, the president this past week, we passed over this, I believe he put out a ban on the stock weapons, or he's going to put out a ban on the stock weapons. That's where you can turn a regular weapon into an automatic weapon. Mm. So I think almost everyone's had enough on this. When children are being killed, it's too much. And that includes at the border where children are being killed. I don't think the Republicans have a lot of sentiment for that.
The Me Too movement. This started back in, 2016, I think, was the real beginning of this movement. But certainly over 2017 and 2018, we've seen a lot more actions, a lot more old sort of interactions between people looked at through the Me Too lens. Most famously, Brett Kavanaugh, of course, the nomination right there. What do you make of the developments this year?
Well, Stacey, what's the name of the film star? Kevin Stacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Yep. Spacey. He's just been chopped down. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of Hollywood people. We had a number of members of the House and the Senate chopped down. I think we're going to see more of that. It certainly has come here to Australia with the leader of the Labor Party here mm-hmm. in New South Wales.
New South Wales, yep.
This is not going to peter out. A lot of people say, well, you know, it goes up and down. This is not going down. I think we've reached a point now where everybody has to really zip up, because the voice here now has the backing of the courts and the legislators. So you have to prove you're innocent now. And that's going to be a tough haul. Even in places like Australia, where people can sue for defamation, I think this is going to be a tough haul. So I say this isn't over. Now, the Me Too movement, protecting women's rights, is not the same as getting more rights for women. And let's separate those two. We'll talk about more about this in this coming year, where everyone's expecting a lot of women to be getting into elected office. I don't think so.
I think, yeah, absolutely. A lot to unpack there. But moving on, California, worst fires in the state's history.
Now, could climate change have anything to do with that? No, that's right. You're supposed to scrub the brush.
Rake the forests like they do in Finland. Didn't it? Yeah.
Now, the Finnish prime minister and president had no recollection of ever discussing this with Mr. Trump, nor do they do that in Finland. Why does this man tell lies that are so outrageous? And why would raking the forest make that much difference? Clearly, knocking down underbrush makes a difference. But Californians had that law a long time. Lastly, most of this forest land is in the control of the federal government, not the state government. So if he wants the forest raked, have the federal government do it.
Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi murdered in the Saudi embassy.
That's an allegation. Be careful here.
Allegedly.
The prince, he didn't know anything about it. Mm. The fact that these were his airplanes. I mean, anybody could use his airplanes, right? Now, Trump still hasn't backed away from that. And everyone says that's because of his personal business interest in Saudi Arabia. And I believe it. And putting the Boeing guy in may well be linked to that.
And the one-upmanship on tariffs with China, that's been an ongoing battle of 2018 as well.
Yeah, that one's, I think, it's going to tip pretty quickly. The Chinese are making sure that they don't run into an inflation problem in China. So they're slowing down their own economy. And so they can weather these tariffs because they want to slow down their economy, where the United States can't. And most of the consumer goods made in the United States, is anything made in the United States anymore?
No, not those days.
And certainly nothing in Australia. Mm. So if you want, a kettle, you can't buy a local one, and no one's going to start manufacturing them. So the Chinese really have the United States over a barrel here. The real issue is, can American goods get into China? And there, I think, that's where the tug of war is going to be. And that requires very careful, skilled diplomacy, both in the manufacturer side as well as the government side. And without leadership, it can't happen. So the focus will be on diplomatic leadership here, not on bombastic words.
And just briefly getting back to Trump on that one, the face of America abroad. Trump this year in 2018, North Korea, the G20 summit, of course, most recently, the decisions made in Syria. What do you make of the face of America, the face of Trump in the global scene?
Well, I think Mattis summed it up in his letter. If the United States cannot be the moral leader, then the United States has no role in the world. You can't shoot your way through it. You can't bluff your way through it. So the United States is in a very difficult position right now, and that it cannot lead without having that moral edge. That's something Obama brought. People didn't like his foreign policy, so you should use the gunboats a little more. But I wish he'd done that too. But when you lose the moral leadership, it doesn't matter how many guns you have.
And just finally, had anything else in 2018 we should be looking back on?
I think we should look back on Mr. Cohen. Michael Cohen, who was with Trump for over a decade, in all the inner circle meetings, all through the campaign, he's going to have more to say. And Flynn's going to have more to say. I think those dots will be joined in 2019. And that's the end of the ballgame. Now, Trump certainly cannot pardon himself. And he has a choice here. Am I going to pardon my son-in-law, my son, my daughter, Manafort, and all the crazies around Manafort? It looks like a small number of pardons. But when Nixon started going in that direction, he went down. So Trump is really behind a wall here, and he doesn't know how to go out and get out. Moreover, Mueller is making so that these crimes also have state penalties. So even if you got a pardon on the federal side, the state of New York or the state of Virginia or the state of Maryland is coming after you. I think we have an island, Manus, is that it, where Mr. Trump would be welcome, and we have facilities there with fences, and we should offer that opportunity to him before it's too late.
2019, I would love to see Trump as very much the only guest on that particular island. Ed, mate, the ball dropping on a very tumultuous year. Thanks very much, mate.
Thanks, mate, and let's look forward to... Well, I guess we want as much action, but not in the same place.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back in the new year to discuss the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.